You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with Andrew Mounts and former champion jockey Seb Sanders. We've got meetings over the obstacles at Exeter and Weatherby to look forward to, and all-weather racing on the fibre sand at Southwell. And joining me in the studio now to look ahead to the action on Tuesday is Mr. Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
Very well, thanks, Mark. Very well indeed.
Good, good man. We're going to start with the Racing Post's Monday jury, which obviously reflects on this year's Cheltenham Festival and also has a little bit of a peek towards next year's as well. And then we'll get stuck into Tuesday's racing. Before we answer the questions in the Monday jury, Craig, the dust has settled on the Cheltenham Festival 2017. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
It wasn't financially fantastic for me. Mark held my own, but in terms of a spectacle and a sport, I thought it was absolutely fantastic. Some terrific racing over the 4 days. You know, it's a long winter and uncompetitive racing, small fields. It drains you, really. And, you know, to have some good ground, competitive racing, top-class horses, really enjoyed the 4 days. Fantastic week at Cheltenham.
I think it was more of an open festival this time.
It was. Yeah, it definitely was. You know, obviously we lost some big names on the lead up to the festival, and you want to see the best horses competing against each other.
Yeah.
But what it did do, it made it more open, some of the championship races, and it was absolutely fantastic to watch.
On to the first question of the Monday jury then, which is related to the Cheltenham Festival. What were the best and worst equine performances from the festival?
Mike Bite will definitely get the best for me. You know, the way he kept jumping and pouring on the pressure from the front, and he kept lengthening away coming down the hill, was absolutely fantastic. It was that point in the race where he was expecting the gap to close, and he kept increasing the lead from his rivals. He got tired after the last, but the way he picked up suggested he had plenty left. He wasn't all out by any means. So Mike Bite got the best performance of the week. Very unfair to give Duvan the worst, considering, you know, they've diagnosed an injury problem there as a result of his poor run. So Yanworth in the champion hurdle, you know, even if he had finished second or third, you could have said, well, maybe that's as good as he is. But he was beaten a long way out, Mark, and it was a poor performance by Yanworth, so he'd get the worst.
Yeah, Mike Bite was almost the best turn into the worst, wasn't he?
Yes.
which then came back to being good again. It was some race, that RSA.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Second question, what were your training and riding performances of the week?
In terms of training performances, I think Willie Mullins, Arctic Fire. To bring any horse back from a layoff to win at the Cheltenham Festival is difficult. But, you know, off top weight in the county hurdle was a fantastic training performance. So yeah. Willie Mullins, stand out for that. I think there's two jockeys. Away from the bigger names, need to get a positive mention. Jamie Codd for his ride on Fiona in the bumper.
Yep.
Missed, 10 lengths at the start off a standing start. Didn't panic, crept his way into contention and came home strongly in the closing stages. And you've got to give Jack Kennedy a mention for La Bike, you know, just for even getting the horse to jump off.
Yeah.
You know, he should have been coming up in this column. And of the bigger names, I thought Ruby Walsh's ride on Undesol was fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, that was not easy. It may have looked simple the way, you know, he was pouring on from the front, but, you know, he was very, very keen. And to get him settled, and he just got everything perfect. And I thought Ruby Walsh gave her an absolute fantastic ride on Undesol. But two young jockeys, Jack Kennedy and Jamie Codd, deserve massive credit for their winning ride.
Yeah, I'd agree with all of that. And point to the mix as well, Ruby on Thursday, going into that, it's a situation he's not used to really at the festival, the fact that he'd had no winners on the board going into Thursday.
Yeah, indeed.
And then he still turned up on the day when he had probably his best chances and did the business still. So, good training and riding performances there. I suppose we should mention Jessica Harrington as well, won the Gold Cup and the final race on the Friday as well. She had a good festival. She had three winners for the week.
Three winners, yeah. Yeah. Robbie Power was riding well for them. Rock the World. Sent them off on a high. You know, he ran well in the race last year, and his jumping was much better this time around. He produced at the last year, another good training performance as well.
Where does your money go in the Gold Cup next year then? I've got betting out. We've got betting out on site. I'll just relay that to start with. Sizing John and Thistle Crack both 5-1 at the top of the market there. Duvan is 7-1, 8-1 York Hill, Jack Adam, and Mike Bite both 12s. Manila Rock also 12-1 with Native River. 20-1 Q Card, Whisper 25-1, 33s for Disco and Tiger Roll.
It's hard to see any of the horses that didn't win this year coming back to win next year, particularly Jack Adam, because he had everything perfect for him to have a big go at the race this year. So it's hard to see any of those marks. So you're looking, you know, Sizing John on good ground. You know, the way he went through the race, you would have to consider him. But York Hill, you know, they got his jumping right on the big day. He jumped out to his left on his first two starts over fences. And the overall form of those two performances was, you have to say, somewhere below what he achieved over hurdles. Come the big day, you know, they had him absolutely spot on. His jumping was a joy to watch. He looked a real good horse when he won the Neptune. And I don't think stepping up in trip will be any problem with the horse. If anything, there'll be more improvement to come. So at those prices, York Hill 8-1.
Okay. Give us a festival loser or two who will come good in the future.
I'm going to give you three here, Mark. The obvious one, Neon Wolf.
Yeah.
In the Neptune. In defeat, he produced a performance of the week for me. I just loved the way he jumped his hurdles and the shape he makes over his hurdles. I think he's going to be a top-notch chasing prospect for next year. I think he'll go right to the very top, Neon Wolf, over fences.
Okay.
Two other horses that finished a little bit further back in the races. Landon, who finished 8th in the Triumph Hurdle, trained by Seamus Mullins. He caught my eye first time up this year over hurdles. He then went to Warwick, and he's a real big horse for a juvenile, Landon. And Warwick was too sharp a track for him. Obviously, he was a little bit out of his depth in the Triumph Park, but he produced a fantastic performance to finish 8th. On a galloping track, you know, I think he'll win some nice races. And in the county hurdle, Muhayyid of Dan Skelton's was a really unlucky in running. I think eventually finished 7th in the end off a mark of 134. On a flat track like Aintree, he's one to put in the notebooks.
Mm. I'll throw Debouché into the mix as well, finished 2nd in the bumper. Only a 4-year-old.
Yes.
Any amount of improvements come out of that one.
Yeah, that was a good run.
Yeah.
Kicked for home some way out and just got caught by probably a better mare in the end. So, yeah.
Yeah. What's your number one anti-post bet for Cheltenham 2018?
<That's>
it's only just finished this year.
Yeah. But I'm going to put up a horse that didn't run at this year's festival.
Okay.
He ran on Saturday and turned a handicap at Kempton into a procession off a mark of 134. And he'll be even better once he jumps a fence. Paul Nichols, Brio Conti for the JLT.
Yeah, you were looking for that one in this year, especially, weren't you?
I was hoping he was going to run in the Martin Pipe. I mean, I couldn't honestly not believe the handicapper left him alone on 134 after his success in the novice hurdle at Doncaster.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a phenomenal run. The way he finished as well, you know, was sensational. On the eye, it was a performance of the season for me. And 134 he left them on. And, you know, I was all over him for the Martin Pipe. But we got the money on Saturday. But I think once he goes over a fence, Mark, JLT on good ground, Brio Conti.
Okay. Final question of the Monday jury then. If you can make one change to the Cheltenham Festival, what is it?
It was so good, you wouldn't change much. But to help the pundit and certainly the journalists, 48-hour declarations would help us all.
Yeah.
You know, we'll get the champion hurdle and the championship races on 48-hour decks. But look at those big field handicaps that people have to, you know, write up and analyse. And, you know, you run out of time and you're flat out for 4 days, 5 days, really, aren't you? So 48-hour decks would be a massive help to everyone.
Yeah. It certainly make my life easier.
Yes, it would, Mark.
Trying to do the previews for the following day after 11, 12 o'clock, it's not easy. So I will entirely second that motion. anything else on your mind, Craig, before we move on to Tuesday?
I enjoyed the Monday jury today, you know, on the back of a real good festival. And it'll be interesting. Just keep a note of those, Mark. See how they pan out. I know there's a lot of questions looking forward to 2018. Mm. And I financially won't be involved, but Be interesting to see how they pan out.
I'm going to play this the week before the festival, Nick. see how we're getting on. Right, we'll leave that there. Then let's move on to Tuesday's racing. It's actually a good Tuesday of racing coming up. We've got some good races to go through here. We'll get to Craig's thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we'll go through these in chronological order. We're going to look at some of the racing at each of the three venues on Tuesday, starting in the 3:25 at Wetherby, which is a Class 4 handicap hurdle. 2 miles is the trip, a field of 13 set to go to post for this run, Craig. And it's going to be quite an open betting here, I imagine, this one as well.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, one man and his dog, seen the run from Seaguard last time at Catrick in a novice hurdle mark. He finished third behind Highbridge. Wasn't knocked about at any stage of the race. Finished with an awful lot of running left in him. Went into everybody's notebooks. He was due to run somewhere down south and was a non-runner. Be the best part of 4 weeks ago now. Obviously, they're keeping him for good ground, trained by Kevin Ryan on the flat. I do think, however, you know, an opening mark of 120 is no gimme. And I think that's, you know, a little bit on the stiff side for me, 4 or 5 pounds too high for him to be of interest in his first start on the handicap. But, you know, keep a close eye on how he goes. I think Nicky Richards' horse gets the vote here. Chaos Marcios, a horse that, you know, he's only had three starts this year and going fairly well. 2 starts back at Musselburgh behind Project Blue Book when he unseated his rider on that occasion. And he went through the majority of the market raising race, like he could still win handicaps from his current mark of 120. You know, he was outpaced in the closing stages there, eventually finished fourth. The handicap has dropped him a pound here onto a mark of 119, and I think he can go well. He would be the pick mark because R. Thomas, despite having a tongue tie and cheek pieces fitted for the first time, and probably the best handicapped horse in the race in all honesty, he's still got questions to answer. He's just been a little bit sour this year. Shaped like he wanted further again at Catrick last time, but you wouldn't be surprised if he bolted up off 113. He is so well handicapped, but you just don't know what you're going to get from him in all honesty. So for that reason, I think Nicky Richards' horse is the more consistent runner and not badly treated. Chaos Marcius.
Chaos Marcius then for Craig there at Wetherby in the 3:25. We'll stay at Wetherby for the next, the 4 o'clock. And this is a handicap chase over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. We've got a field of 12 of them set to go to post here. I think Clues and Arrows is quite an interesting one, but it does have a 297-day absence to defy, Craig, and perhaps that would lean people towards something like Banny's Lad or something with race fitness on side.
Yeah, Clues and Arrows been off 287 days, as you say, Mark. Rebecca Menzies' runners, after a break, have a poor record. The yard tend to bring them along slowly, and they usually need the first start after a break. I think it's something like not from 87 along those lines, you know, for horses it's been off even 3 months or more, so the stats not great for Clues and Arrows. I like one in this race, Mark, and I like one a lot, the Cobbler Swain, for Lucinda Russell. Only had the 2 starts this year. His biggest assets is jumping, and obviously needed the run first time back at Wetherby. And then at Carlisle last time, he jumped superbly well through that race behind Cap Jazz. And it was only, you know, when he started coming towards the last fence where he started to tire. And he just shaped like he still needed the run after a, you know, second start after a break. The handicap has dropped him another £2 to 117. He's really well treated. You know, he's the ideal type for Wetherby because he jumps so well. Lucinda Russell's horses seem to be going fine. No problems there. And I think the Cobbler Swain should be reaching peak fitness after 2 starts and off a good mark. I think he'll be very, very difficult to beat.
Cobbler Swain, then strong bet for Craig in the 4 o'clock at Wetherby. Could call it a shoe-in, Cobbler Swain.
I like it, Mark. I like it. Yeah. You know, of the rest, Dangers. You know, there's a few in here. Liana Ban finished second behind a really well handicapped horse of Sue Smith's No More Blackjack. And to be fair, at least he had a go at trying to beat that horse. I mean, nothing could lie up with it. No. You know, the pacer goes early. But it wasn't the case of Liana Ban picking up the pieces late on from a hold-up ride. You know, he was ridden aggressively and finished a fair second. So, you know, he should definitely go well again and swing hard. He's been running over a lot further of late, but 3 of his last 4 wins, Mark, have all came over 2.5 miles. He may be a better horse at this trip on drying ground, and he isn't badly treated. So I'd be expecting a better performance from Swing Hard as well for an informed stable. But the Cobbler Swain gets a a real strong mention here.
The Cobbler Swain then for Craig there. The 4.15 at Exeter is where we go next. This is a Class 3 handicap chase over 3 miles. I suppose a lot of people will be looking at Bindon Mill here, Craig, given that he was a very easy winner over this course and distance last time.
He was. He beat Quinto on that occasion off a mark of 113. He went up £10, Mark, and this is a much better race than the one he won last time, and it may just find him out. But he comes here in real good form. Another horse that appears to be improving and at the top of his game at the moment, absolutely thriving, is Cap Jazz. He steps up and trip. He's won his last two. He's up another £6, but there's much more to come after his Ludlow win. Don't think there'll be any problem with the extra distance. And I think he can go on and complete the hat-trick here for me, Cap Jazz. Another one that should run well in the race is Capard King, but I thought they would have went the other way around with him after his performance at Ludlow. It was amazing to think he eventually finished third in that race, considering how much ground he gave away jumping out to his left. And I thought they would have definitely gone to a left-handed track after that performance, but you know they've come to Exeter and there's got to be a concern for him, and he's jumping. But Cap Jazz is absolutely thriving at the moment, and he gets the vote here.
Cap Jazz then to get the hat-trick up in the 4.15 at Exeter, and we finish off at Southwell in the 4.25, a Class 2 handicap over 7 furlongs, a field of 8 here, Craig, and you could give a number of these a good chance here. It's a good race.
Fantastic race for a Tuesday at Southwell, Mark, it really is. Alex Superstar for Mick Appleby and Sylvester D'Souza. He was a real eye-catcher at Wolverhampton last time, held up on that occasion, didn't get the splits, didn't get the breaks at crucial stages of the race, and I thought he went through the line, although, you know, finishing 6th of 13 with plenty of running left under him, and he shaped a fair bit better than the bare result by a few pounds for me, and you can mark that performance up. And he's bi-pivotal. Looking back through his form, very surprised to see he's actually making his Fibersand debut on Tuesday, given, you know, his connections and trainer. But, you know, this is his first run. But as pedigree suggests, the surface certainly won't be a problem. He's reasonably well treated, comes into the race in good heart, and I think he can gain compensation for an unlucky run 10 days ago at Wolverhampton.
All right, good stuff. Let's just have a quick summary then, Craig, before you go, if you'll just spin us through your final selections then for the Tuesday.
Chaos Marcius for Nicky Richards in the 3.25 at Weatherby. In the 4 o'clock at Weatherby, the best bet of the day for me is the Cobbler Swain. In the 4.15 at Exeter, the in-form Cap Jazz for Venetia Williams. And in the 7 furlong race at 4.25 at Southwell, we're going with Superstar.
Superb. Thank you very much, Craig. Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Craig Forsyth on Tuesday's racing then. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1.50pm with myself in the studio with Seb Sanders and Andrew Mount. It's Exeter, Weatherby and Southwell, so plenty to go at on Tuesday. And do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.